Hey, everybody, wherever you may be, thank you for tuning in to Three Guys Before the Game After the TCU Game. Tony Caridi with you, along with the Senator Brad Howe and the Dean of Broadcasters in the state of West Virginia, Hoppy Kirchival.
Yeah, bums him out.
Using that Kirchival's
bummed out.
I know. I had to do it again. I had to come back in after the music posted up. I had to do
no,
that.
Watching him sort of seat dance kind of bummed me out.
I'll do a spin for you. Hey, by the way, big news. Fortunately, we all don't have plaid shirts on again this week. That was unintentional last week. We had all three. Like, could we look more middle-aged than having three guys with plaid shirts on trying to look stylish?
I went back this weekend and got my wife to order me three shirts. I said, anything but plaid.
I'd say I just doubled down. I just went straight plaid. I just doubled down on the trend.
No, it was good because you knew everyone would not come back. All right, so here we are, folks, after West Virginia and TCU from back on Saturday. Did that score look familiar, 31-24? Did the game look familiar? Will Greer leading the Mountaineers down the field looking for what would have been a potential game-tying touchdown had they gone for the extra point, but maybe had they scored – they would have went for the deuce and just walked out of there 32-31. Thank you very much. Good to see you. And just kind of leave the deal. But instead, it's 31-24 again. And there were very solid similarities between what happened in the Virginia Tech game and what happened in this game, both resulting in a loss. Here it is. And we got a bunch of stuff to get into. We're going to do it relatively quickly. Firstly, average starting position for West Virginia in the game against Virginia Tech, the 21-yard line. Average starting position against TCU, the 19-yard line. Why? Once again, I don't know which way you go with this. The inability or the excellence of the opposing punter to hem West Virginia inside the 5-yard line on four different occasions in the first half. It is statistically very difficult to score when you're starting from inside your 5-yard line, and it got the Mountaineers again.
Yeah, because West Virginia did a good job in those possessions of actually getting out of the shadow of its own end zone, but a 50-yard drive from your 4 is a lot different than a 50-yard drive from your own 25, to your point. Takes you out of some field goal opportunities. I thought Nunez, the kicker, the punter for TCU, did a fantastic job. Because if you noticed, West Virginia even changed up what it was doing on those. One time it came after him with almost everybody, almost got home. He had to quick kick it. He almost looked surprised, like, I have to hurry and kick this. Still dropped it inside the 5. So there were multiple different attempts to get to him, just didn't work.
Yeah, the punter did a tremendous job. And those punters have gotten really good now with how they kick the ball, of making that ball hit and be dead. Now, West Virginia could help itself by fielding a punt, so at least maybe have it on the 9 instead of the 1 or the 2. And West Virginia, with the kickoff that went out of bounds, with the mistake on the receiving punt, still has significant special teams problems that contributed to losing that game.
Here's the issue. It's starting to become not a game problem. It's starting to become a very massive problem when it comes to fielding and getting yardage on punts. Right now, West Virginia is 10th out of 10 in the Big 12 in punt return yardage at 3-yard average. Last year, West Virginia was 9th. The year before that, they were 8th. In 2014, they were 10th. In 2013, they were 10th.
Well, I mean, what you're not getting there is you're not getting any of those hidden yards. You're not getting any advantage from that. And other teams are. And over there's a cumulative effect to that as the season goes on, of yards you're not getting and bad field position.
Here's the thing. If you're going to beat top 25 teams, you can't have those numbers, because we're often reminded, although we don't talk enough about special teams, you have to win at least two of the three aspects of the game: offense, defense, or special teams. West Virginia's defense played well enough to win on Saturday. They did their job. None of us thought that would happen. Going in, we thought that they would get rushed upon and scored upon. They did their job. 14 points for TCU came off of turnovers. And when you're going to beat a big boy, you've got to win special teams, and they did not. Well, and that's the that to me is the most frustrating thing.
You know, think about this defense. We talked about it endlessly for 2 weeks about West Virginia's defensive problems. And to their credit and to Tony Gibson and his staff and those players, and David Long came back, that defense went, Brad, from giving up 564 yards to Kansas to giving up 400 yards to TCU. The rush defense, they went from giving up 367 to Kansas to 170. I mean, that's an incredible turnaround. Is it a trend? We'll see, but that's a heck of a turnaround.
Yeah, I'd be careful to assign too many trends to things. We like to say it's a week-to-week business here, but for that particular game, I thought the run defense was outstanding. I would have bet the house that TCU would go in and rush for more than 200 yards. So I'm with you, Tony. The defense, while Tony Gibson was upset about the performance, I thought they certainly did enough to win that game. And you're right. It was back to turnovers. It was miscues. It was some missed opportunities by the offense. I mean, talk about things stringing together. Will Greer with the rare overthrow of David Sills on a third down as West Virginia is going in to the TCU end zone. Sills catches that. It may be a touchdown. He misses it. You go to a field goal attempt. Mike Molina misses the field goal. So those little missed opportunities show up and turn into other missed opportunities. There's 3 points that you didn't gain.
And guys, think about this. I thought that Dana Holgorsen really nailed it in a very simple comment after the game. He said simply, we have to score more points. He didn't talk about the officials, although he wanted to, but he didn't talk about the officials, didn't talk about other things. We got to score more points. In games against Virginia Tech and against TCU, they scored 24 points. That's it, 24 points. Now, there was a lot going into the TCU game. This team's averaging 48 points a game, big offense. They've only scored 24 points against good teams. Now, you can't, if you're going to score 24 points against good, above average Big 12 teams, you're going to lose every game, okay? You got to score more points. I mean, Iowa State scored 38 with a walk-on transfer quarterback and a former quarterback linebacker turned quarterback scored 38 at Oklahoma. This is a league, Brad. You got to score more than 24. You got to be in the 30s and 40s.
You're exactly right. And go back to a troubling trend with this program right now. It has lost 9 straight games to ranked teams and 13 out of 14. And look no further than points scored. Real quickly, 24, 24, 28, 10, 26, 24, 20. 30. So if you go back, that is a trend. When West Virginia has played ranked teams over the last 3 or 4 seasons, it just hasn't been able to score at the clip that's necessary to win some of these games. So that's a problem.
All right, let's jump in. Next topic, officiating. Because obviously it blew up social media after the game.
As well, it should have.
And still people are talking about it today. I'll jump in on this thing first. And it goes like this. The conspiracy theory that some people have that the Big 12 has it out for West Virginia, or that they're going to not allow any team except one from the Midwest to win the Big 12, is the most intellectually lazy argument that I've ever heard. That does not happen. Okay, so just get rid of the conspiracy theory, and that just does not happen. Quite honestly, they didn't get into the locker room before the game and they said, hey, Bobby, did you hear that Oklahoma got beat by Iowa State? Our only chance now is to get TCU into the college football playoffs, so let's make sure we take care of TCU. Doesn't happen.
It only happens in basketball. It doesn't happen in football.
It doesn't happen, okay? Now, along that, so I get, just throw all that away. Now, were there missed calls, horrendously missed calls in that game? Yes, there were. Will there always be those types of calls in games? Unfortunately, yes, despite the fact that you've got replay. But the part I just wanted to jump in on was that this conspiracy thing that they've got something in against West Virginia, not buying it, not a second.
I'll let Brad go because he's really upset about
this. Well, I mean, now that Commissioner Bowlesby's had his say over there, I agree with you on conspiracy theories. There isn't conspiracy theories. I know you don't want to get fined. You're tight with your money. You don't want to have to give more money to the Big 12 as an official spokesperson. So I'll just say it. The calls on Sills and the interception to me were absolutely horrendous.
I'm not disagreeing.
Now, the David Sills one I can almost buy because sometimes people miss calls, as you said. I agree with that. You're in a bad position. You think you see something you didn't. You just miss a call. Human error. That happens on the David Sills. It was terrible. It was a terrible missed call. The one that I struggle with, and this seems to happen, and you guys can say, well, there are other plays that led to the loss, and I agree with that. I'm not saying the officiating cost West Virginia the game, but my gosh, guys, if you're going to have replay and you're going to have the ability to go to a booth, and you're going to say it has to be indisputable or clear evidence to overturn a call, and that's where I stick on this one. They called it an interception by Elijah Battle on the field, went to a monitor, and thought they saw enough evidence to overturn that all the other way. That's where I have a real problem. Go talk to Oklahoma State from last year about officiating when you go to review. And they got beat against Central Michigan when a rule was applied incorrectly by officials. So this isn't the first time you've seen this. If everybody else is held accountable and coaches are going to lose jobs and people are going to lose jobs in this billion-dollar business, then when are you going to get replay officials and officials that are held accountable for blowing things as well?
Well, okay,
that's my point. It didn't cost West Virginia the game directly, but did it contribute? Well, sure it contributed, because if that interception gets overturned, TCU gets the ball back and walks down and scores what turns out to be the winning touchdown. Just get it right. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the issue with your Here's the issue with your argument. You're yelling at me. I totally agree with you. Everything you just said. I just don't buy in the conspiracy, Hop.
Well, a couple things. One is I'm glad the old Big East officials were able to get jobs.
They're apparently back.
In the Big 12. But the whole point about and I thought that the Sills call was a terrible call. It was two guys, and they just had their hands, you know, back and forth. I thought that was a terrible call at a critical time in the game. And on the Elijah Battle call, that's one where how many times do you see a replay and let the call stand, because you get a feeling like, well, if you're not really sure, if it's not indisputable, just let it stand to the point where you almost think they don't want to overturn their brothers on the field. I mean, that's the inclination, and you really
that's
do,
a general rule. That's
yeah,
what happens.
Like, that's what happens.
Except in this critical situation against WVU, I see why fans lose their mind.
Yeah, the counterpart to that is West Virginia only was flagged twice. Now, they were critical plays, but they were only flagged twice in the game.
You keep bringing that up. Even before
well, how
we
was your night
taping
at the theater, Mr. Lincoln? I mean, those are, you can't just say only two, and it was the two most critical plays of the game.
So
you can't use that.
That's very shoddy. That's a very shoddy argument. Basically, what you're saying is they only got called twice, and you know you probably should have five a game, so they just got there too late. That's
you know,
all.
We let that holding call go with 13-12 to go in the first. You got a break there.
Well, but you have to, okay. But you have to overcome those things over the course of a season. All right?
That defense did what it was supposed to do.
But the offense
made a play.
But the offense didn't.
Okay, but that's why I'm saying on the Sills, you would have still had to go down and score
right,
if you're West
right,
Virginia,
right.
which you didn't against Virginia Tech.
And time was running out, so, I mean, you still had a big hill to climb there.
But the defense got a stop. The defense needed a stop and a turnover, and it got it, that would have kept TCU out of the end zone. That's not hypothetical. TCU wouldn't have scored on the next drive because they wouldn't have had the ball. That, to me, is the biggest yak of a call. I'm sorry. It is.
If you break down the numbers, they did not get the goal that they needed to be successful in running the ball. 3.6 per carry, and they finished the game on average yard per play was just over 6 yards per play, exactly 6 yards per play. And that's not good enough either.
No.
It's got to be 7.5 yards minimum to be in there swinging around. So,
you know what one thing may have masked the closeness of that game, though? If Will Grier in particular is not your quarterback, that may have been not that close of a game. He did a wonderful job early of eluding and escaping the pressure that might have turned into 4, 5, 6 sacks had it been another quarterback. I thought he was extremely slippery, and his escapability really kept that game close.
That was a big difference between that game and Oklahoma State, because Mason Rudolph could not get away from the rush. Yeah. And Will Grier, as we see once again, just fast enough to elude the rush and make a play. They just offensively, granted, taking into consideration the calls, did not make enough plays to win the game offensively. And Dana Holgorsen recognized that. And going forward, you're going to have to make more plays offensively and score more than 24 points.
What's really frustrating is you lost two games, 31-24, and two games you could have won.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda here. Nope. You could very easily be 5-0 at this point.
You could be.
Well,
yeah.
but you're
not. No, I know that. I'm just saying.
And you got to make enough plays to win those games, and they're not doing that. So there's a very fine line. But the woulda, shoulda, coulda, I don't think, if you are good enough to win five, you win five. You don't lose two.
Well, I don't know anybody saying you are good enough to win five. I think what I'm taking out of that is tremendous missed opportunities for this West Virginia team. You had two that you'll look back on and go, man, what could this season have been that last year you got? right? You got the BYU break late. You got the Kansas State kid missing the kick. Maybe this is just balancing it out that here's two games that you were right there to win and you just didn't get it done.
Well, I hope that it balances out for West Virginia as the season plays out. If that happens and West Virginia's got a couple of bounces coming its way. All right, we'll be back on Thursday. The line on the game for Texas Tech opened up at 7 and then dropped. It has dropped down to a 5.5 or so. So early money going on the Red Raiders. Now they're going to be asked to come in on the road for the second straight week. It'll be body time wise, 11 a.m. for them.
And there we go.
I'm just saying, it doesn't hurt.
And you got to contend with the wind here in Morgantown when you come from the plains of Texas. That's going the other way.
Don't forget about the altitude.
Wait, is that when you go to Lubbock? You got to worry about wind?
They're going to have to worry about
the no crown on the field.
They're going to have to worry about the glare from the leaves at Cooper's Rock coming over Chestnut Ridge. It can let off a bad current. And looking double ahead, the Baylor game, they set kickoff now for midnight in Waco. No, actually, it's going to be 8 o'clock. Oh, forbid. 8 o'clock in Waco. We've been doing really well on those 11 a.m. starts out on the road, but not this time around. It'll be an 8 o'clock kick for Baylor. This week, it's noon. Thanks for being with us. Anything else you'd like to add for the good of the order? I thought everyone was well-behaved.
Looking forward. I'm actually very anxious about this game this week. And we'll talk about this on Thursday. I mean, this game looms large for how your season is going to play out.
Huge, huge, huge. And by the way, I disagree with you. I think the defense's play on Saturday is a harbinger of things to come. I don't think it was a one-day deal. I think with David Long back, if everyone can stay on the field health-wise, I think that defense –
That's a big if to the trend. I'm factoring that in when I say don't assume that it will continue. I'm factoring in there may be some other things. You can't do what you just did.
I just did it.
Jeez.
You know what else I can do? Do this. Turn the music on. Hoppy hates us when I talk over the music. Then I come back and talk again. And Donnie's going to start singing. I'm going to talk over him too. All right, we're back. Thursday, thanks for being with us, everyone. Take care. Make sure that you subscribe, and it'll come right into your phone device there, Google Play and iTunes. Thanks for being with us. For Hoppy, the Senator, we're out. See y'all. And you can't depend on superstition.